Today is October 18th, 2022. I'm Jen Widener with the Jeffersonville Township Public Library, conducting interviews for pandemic perspectives. Jeffersonville residents recount their lives during the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic. This project was made possible with a grant from the Indiana Genealogical Society. I'm here today with Salvador. Say your last name for me.
Quinones.
Quinones, public information officer with the Jeffersonville Fire Department, as well as a firefighter. So how long have you been with the fire department?
I have been with the fire department for 7 years as of August 3rd of this year. That was my anniversary. 7 years, they go by fast.
Yes, they do. So do you remember when you first heard about COVID-19?
Yes, actually. I remember it very vividly. I was in Chicago with some friends for a Christmas trip where we would go shopping. Well, him and his family go shopping in Chicago, and they'll stay the Christmas weekend. And I remember seeing the first news report in Chicago saying that they had gotten the first case, and that was December of 2019. They're saying the first case, it was getting bad in China, in Wuhan, China. And I remember that shortly after that, and I remember thinking nothing of it. I remember shortly after that, I believe it was in January, we got back, then we got the first U.S. case. So I was like, oh, so it got here, and still wasn't thinking anything of it, living life regular. But it was crazy to me, though, how fast it got to the U.S. and how quickly it was, it was spreading. But still, me being me and not thinking much of anything on the news, I just kept trying to live life regular. I didn't think much of it at all, honestly. It was just another thing on the news.
So did you think that it would get to Indiana, to Jeffersonville, Indiana?
I figured eventually it would, but still, it had not hit me of how serious it was or how easily it spread. I just, once again, was like, it's just another thing on the news. It'll be on there until the next big thing on the news next week, and that's it.
And we'll forget about it, and just like it never happened.
Oh, yeah.
So we know now that it was a big deal, and it was very contagious. Yep. So how did things change for you as a firefighter once, we had COVID cases here in Clark County and Jeffersonville?
Yeah, well, it was very dynamic. Everything was changing by the minute, but literally by the minute. We would get one SOP or SOG at work, and it would quickly change. Like, an hour later, we have something new, a new way of procedure of doing things. I remember being in a group chat with my buddies as soon as they said, there was cases in Indiana, and things started getting locked down. And I remember making the joke where I was like, I have no choice. I'm going to get it, because we literally go into people's homes every day, like all over the place.
Yep.
I was like, I'm going to get it. I was like, we go into random people's homes every day when I'm on duty, like so many times.
And you have no idea what you're walking into.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I was like, you don't know if they're sick. You don't know if they have it. You couldn't tell if somebody had it or anything. So I was like, I know I'm going to get it. I'll be the first one out of my friends. I told them, I was like, I'll be the first one in this group to get it for sure. So it was weird, but I still didn't know the seriousness of it. I just knew it was changing. No one knew. And like I said, it was very dynamic. It was changing by the minute, changing by the hour, by the day. Everything was, so we just try to follow along and be as protect ourselves as well as possible. But not much you can do when something's airborne, I don't think. There's only so much you can do, actually. But yeah, it was different.
Obviously, working for the fire department, you guys, there was no lockdown for you all. Like, you went to work, you did your normal shifts.
Yeah.
The
only thing that was really weird is we couldn't even have our own families visit the firehouse. No one was allowed. That was the only time since I've been on, usually, obviously, being a public and especially paid by taxpayers, funded by taxpayers, our salaries and everything, and the equipment, everything we have. It's our firehouses are open to anyone. They can come in anytime they want, look at the trucks, take pictures, whatever they want. Their tax dollars pay our salaries. And that was the first time we had ever been told, no one's allowed in the firehouse. The doors remain locked at all times. No one could come in. We had signs on every door that said no entry allowed. We couldn't do any school function. We couldn't go visit schools. We couldn't do any birthdays. Sometimes we would go visit our district. We'll take an apparatus, show up. People will call us and request to have a birthday, us come by for a second, as long as it's in our district.
Right.
We couldn't do any of that. It was very strange. It was different. And like I said, even we thought it was weird where we go home to our families every night, And so we're going to be around them no matter what, But they couldn't come to the firehouse. Even though we're around them at home, we couldn't have them at the firehouse at all. But that's also to protect them because we were going out, going into runs also and not knowing what what we would bring back to the firehouse also. So it was very strange, very different. Definitely I'm glad that that part is over. We're allowed to have visitors at the firehouse now, and that actually helps our day go by. You know, when people come by.
Oh, absolutely. So,
but that was different. It was a kind of, I don't want to say it was like a prison, because I love my career, and you know, I never think of it as a job or anything. But it was different. We were blocked off from the world, basically. We just, all we could do was respond to medical runs or fires, and then right back. They didn't want us going to Kroger. Like, we'll go on duty and we'll get groceries to cook and everything. We weren't allowed to do that anymore. We had to bring them in every day. So everybody had to go out and get the groceries for dinner or breakfast the next day. We had to go the night before and then bring them in with us. They just didn't want us out in public, but I understand. I understood it then. I understand it now. They were just, you know, being precautious and making sure that we were staying safe, and we weren't taking it home to our families either. So
speaking of your families, how did your life change outside of work? Did you take, like, when you got home, did you, like, immediately, like, take a shower, throw your clothes in the washer? Or?
Yeah, I'm not so much. I don't have any kids. I'm not married. I have a girlfriend, but I'm not married, and I don't have any kids. So it was a little different for me, because I don't have, you know, I don't have to worry. I don't have a lot of people depending on me at home, you know, or that I have to worry about. So I wore my uniforms home, but a lot of guys, though, they did take their clothes off at the firehouse and leave them there and just change into their, you know, so a quick outfit that they would wear home and then change when they got home. Several guys, I remember doing that. I myself, like I said, I did not. So I would just wear my stuff home, and, you know, I change and shower when I got home. But, yeah, I do recall people definitely changing and leaving their work on duty, or washing them every day as soon as they got done, and then changing into them when they got to work. It was different for sure.
So what have you learned from the pandemic?
I tell you what. I've learned there was good and bad. I've learned you can't always take everything you hear or see on TV or the news to heart, because everything can change, and they're working off so much information that they were given by, you know, whoever. But so you don't take everything you hear or see on the news as, you know, as 100% truth. But you also have to be cautious. You can't also just say, oh, you know, whatever, it's nonsense, and just do whatever you want. You have to follow some rules, and, you know, and you have to take precautions during things like this, because, I mean, although it never affected me personally, I do know people who lost family members because of it, and, you know, it affected a lot of people all around the world. But you just have to I do remember I went to a soccer game as soon as we were allowed to have fans back in the stadiums, so it made me have an appreciation for live events and sporting events and everything so much more, because it got taken away from us for about 2 years or so, where I couldn't go. I'm a season ticket holder, U of L football. I couldn't go to games for 2 years, you know. So it made me appreciate everything so much more, because I never thought I would live in a world where they would cancel the NCAA March Madness, you know, where fans weren't allowed in stadiums during games. I never thought this stuff was possible. And I remember getting my haircut the week before everything shut down, and my barber was talking to me. He goes, oh, you think they're going to cancel the tournament? And I said, no way they cancel it. That's too much money that we'll lose. They're not canceling that tournament. 2 days later, they canceled March Madness.
Everything I thought would happen.
I was like, all right, this is getting real now. You know, like, this is different. I was down on Bourbon Street the week before, whenever the conference tournaments and all, we were down in New Orleans. And so we were down visiting friends, and we were going to watch some of the tournament there on Bourbon Street. And so earlier that day, we had got in, and this was March 15th, I believe. So it was March 15th of 2020. And we were down there, and we were down for St. Patrick's Day and the beginning of the tournament. That was it. So that's why I remember the date so well, March 15th. So I was like, so we were out on Bourbon Street, and I'll never forget, there was a bartender there. She was crying when we went up to get a drink. And we were like, what? You know, I was asking what's wrong. Yeah. So she said she had just been told by her boss that they were shutting down. They were ordered to shut down, and they would probably be closed for a month. And she was crying because she did not know what she was going to do for work to make money. So, you know, so that was about, I mean, that was pretty early in the day, maybe 2 p.m. or so.
And for New Orleans, yeah, you exactly. think about shutting yes, down when there's exactly. not a hurricane
yeah.
coming. That's,
oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so we went and, you know, we got our drinks and we were hanging out. I was like, you know, this is just so weird, everything going on. By 5 p.m. that day, there was horseback police officers on horseback going through down Bourbon Street, of all places, telling us we had to be off the street by 7 p.m., and they were shutting everything down, all bars, everything shut down immediately.
That is crazy. Immediately, New Orleans.
New Orleans. Our original flight back was supposed to be on the 19th of October or March 19th. And that was, like I said, that was on the 15th. We had to get a new flight back home the next day, the 16th, and fly home early. They canceled our other flights and everything and made us go back home. And as soon as we got back, everything was shut down completely all over the world.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
It was wild.
So let's say like 30, 40, 50 years from now, what do you want people to remember about the pandemic?
I do want people to remember it. Actually, I think the time, the lockdown, I guess I don't want to call it, you know, the shutdown, there you go. It helps some people. Like, I want people, you know, some people, I know that started businesses because of it. It helped people work on their communication skills so they couldn't see anyone. So you have to, some people, you know, you can FaceTime or whatever, you know, you learn how to communicate. You weren't always, but, I mean, I know that you couldn't see people face to face, but it brought people closer to their families because you could see your family. It was about the only few people you could see. Yeah. You know, I had about a group of like two or three friends that I could see, but and the guys at work. But yeah, it brought families together. You know what I mean? Some families brought them together. And I hope people remember how serious it got to the point where they had to shut everything down. And I want people, if there's another pandemic eventually, which I'm sure there will be at some point, I would like people to just take it serious a lot sooner. That way it doesn't get to the point to where they have to shut everything down all over the place. Because I do believe that was the issue this time, and myself included. I mean, I was like, it's nothing, you know. And I was still out everywhere, you know, in public until they pretty much said, all right, since y'all are not going to stay home.
This is what we got to do.
We're going to make you stay home.
You kids won't listen to us.
That's right. So, yeah, I just hope that people remember how bad it got this time around and how serious it got and with everything shutting down and just people not being able to work and all that. And I hope this pandemic was able to everyone learn how to adjust. And now from now on, obviously it has created a lot more work from home jobs and positions.
Absolutely.
So yeah, my girlfriend now is an example. She works for Jim Beam. She's a scientist for Jim Beam. But now she's able to work from home almost anytime she wants now because they learned that a lot of these meetings could be done over Zoom or anything else. Yeah, so she don't have to be in the you know, if she's not in the lab, then she don't have to be in at work at all. She can just do it from home now.
Yeah,
so
they've learned that we can be productive at home. I mean, obviously as a firefighter, you don't have that luxury. That would be weird.
We cannot work from home.
But so, did you ever get COVID?
I did, actually. I actually got it twice, and I was very
overachiever.
Yeah. So and but the messed up part was, the first time I got it, I had, you know, it was in December of 2020, the very end, and I hadn't gotten my first vaccine yet, but so I had worked all year and been fine. I got my vacation. I always take a vacation right before Christmas every year, and 2 days into my vacation, I got COVID, and then so I had to quarantine for 2 weeks, which is almost the duration of my duration of my vacation. Luckily, I was out of quarantine by Christmas Day, which so I was able to enjoy Christmas with my family and everything and all that. But we had a trip that we had to cancel and all that. So, and then the second time it was over a year later. It was actually earlier this summer, in June of this year, I got it again, and I hadn't even been anywhere. And I was just actually released, like I said, I had shoulder surgery earlier this year, and I was released to go back to work. So I went by the firehouse to talk to the chief and give him the paper from my doctor, say, hey, August 1st, I'm clear to come back. And I went home that day, and I started feeling a little sluggish. And I took a COVID test at home, now that we have them all over the place available. I took one at home, and it was negative. The next morning, I woke up, and I had a terrible headache. I took another one, and I had it. I was like, so twice in about a year and a half span there. But luckily for me, it was only about 3 days of symptoms with like headache. I never got anything real serious, like a short breath or anything like that. So,
well, thank goodness.
It didn't hit me as hard.
So is there anything else you want us to know about your experience?
No, I just, especially, but like I said, in this career, I just knew as soon as that came out, I knew that I had no chance of getting by without catching it at least once. I knew it was going to happen. The experience, it was something that I hoped to never have to relive. And I wish every generation could go without ever experiencing the pandemic. I thought I was going to get to go through that, you know, because the last one was about 100 years before us. Yes. Right? So I was thinking I was going to get through it without ever experiencing it, but look at us. We were
almost 3 years later. We're still.
That's right. So we got one, and it lasted way longer, and I thought those things would last. I didn't know how that, you know, I'd always heard the word pandemic. I never really thought
much
of it.
I never thought about it. I thought it was just like sci-fi or something. Exactly. Like, that doesn't happen in this day and age.
Yeah, we have medicine and whatever else, you know. Yeah, well, it happened. It happened, and it came fast, and it was quick and changed every day. And it's changed life forever. Sort of like the way I related, like sort of how 9/11 changed the way people travel forever.
Yes.
COVID will change the way we live our lives forever, I believe.
I mean, some of us still wear masks around here because we have coworkers that have cancer.
Definitely.
And we're just trying to, you know, protect everybody. And
definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, thank you for your time.
No problem. Thank you very much.